What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Perverse Shot. I'm your boy, John Salmon. Joining me, Andy Peterson.
Yeah! Yeah! 3, 10, 5. Oh, no.
Oh, holiday. Happy holiday spirit, Andy. Is that your Christmas theme?
Yeah, yin-yang twins.
The yin-yang twins?
they bring Christmas spirit.
The jingle-jangle twins? The jing-jang twins? Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. She got a hand on her knees and a nose on her thigh.
Today we are talking about David Fincher's brand new Netflix joint starring the wonderful character actor Gary Oldman. But first, we have to do a little cinema brawl.
Cinema brawl, cinema brawl,
cinema brawl. That is where we pit two iconic film characters together in a gladiatorial ring to the death. Who will win? Who will lose? And today, Andy, yes. I'm going to lay something on you.
Yeah, lay me.
Because I got two I got two characters, both from the Gary Oldman cinematic universe.
Oh.
Who's going to win?
Okay.
And who will lose?
Okay.
I debated on who the second person should be.
I already know who one's going to be.
Okay. We're going to put Gary Oldman's Rolf from Tiptoes versus Gary Oldman's Dracula.
Ooh.
Who's winning in a fight to the death?
I'll tell you right now, it's easy. Rolf is running him over in his little motorbike.
Yeah. Dracula hasn't seen this type of technology.
Dracula's he's not so a modern hell.
Man. Yeah, he's not a modern man. He's going to be run over. He's like, what is this? And he's going to be run over like, this is just little people shit.
Rolf is going to have wooden stakes on the front and just ram
his. He's going to whittle down his cane.
And Peter Dinklage is going to be behind
into
him.
A stake.
It's like, yeah. Or no, he's French.
No, he's French.
He's like, do the Pokemon.
Yeah. No,
sorry, but Gary, not sorry to the French. They don't listen
Gary
to us
Oldman's
anyway.
Gary Oldman's gonna... We're looking for French fans, though, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
French listeners.
Those that eat snail, please listen.
Gary Oldman whittles down his cane into a stake and drives it through Count Dracula's heart.
He drags on his knees all the way to... Just knee dragon.
Knee, right,
oh wait,
like
that's
it.
His that's his ninja name, knee dragon.
Flying knee. No, look, I think Gary Oldman. It's so funny, man, because I can't unshake Gary Oldman from Rolf anymore. It's hard to distinguish Gary Oldman from
That's such
Tiptoes.
A shame.
I know, it is such a shame. I thought he did fantastic in this movie, Mank.
I think it's his best performance.
It is really good. I'm sorry, but I just also see, like, he was just, like, hobbling around and drunk in a cabin. Like, it also kind of felt like Tiptoes. I couldn't shake it, dude. but yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. I had a hard time picking who the cinema brawl was going to be because it could be any one of his brilliant characters. He's really good at it. But you know, we all start somewhere.
Well, at least you didn't say Winston Churchill.
I mean, why not? Dude, it could have been anybody. It really could have been
or
anybody.
The True Romance pimp.
Yeah, or the guy the villain from Fifth Element. Absolutely, man. Could have been anybody, dude.
Man, so yeah, you said it. Character actor, this... I couldn't see anybody else doing this. And what's funny is he requested, of course, makeup. And it was Fincher that shut that down real quick.
Fincher, I wonder what he was trying to do.
He wanted the performance to be more, like, you know, true. Like... from Gary Oldman himself. Like, he wanted it to be like that.
Like, not hidden behind prosthetics.
Exactly.
And, like, 14 double chins.
Yeah.
And, like, a different nose.
Which is funny.
Like a different brow forehead wig combination like they did in Tiptoe. I just want to be surrounded in it.
That man loves prosthetics. Now, another crazy thing is, so Amanda Seyfried did amazing too.
Oh yeah, and this movie has some great acting from great performances from a lot of people.
Oh, and in real life, Marion Davis was actually a year older than Mank, and Amanda Seyfried, I believe, is like 27 years younger than Gary Oldman. But it kind of worked.
It did kind of work. It did feel like they were. I personally felt like they were. There was an age gap. But I guess you're saying that in real life there wasn't.
There wasn't.
They were supposed to be the same age. Okay.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that they switched up, like.
Because I thought Gary Oldman had the hots for like a woman who was 27 years younger.
Yeah, I guess so. The other thing in the film, Shelley, that wasn't a real character. It was based on a real character, but the real character didn't have Parkinson's and didn't kill himself.
Oh, Shelley, that was his buddy, like the cinematographer, director.
Yeah,
wannabe director.
Yeah, but got to do like the propaganda.
Yeah, he the only role he got.
Yeah,
as like a director. My gosh. Yeah, man. So you're saying that wasn't a real person?
It was a real person, but the real person did not have Parkinson's and did not kill himself. He was just buddies with him. But it helped that, you know, political aspect of the film, because it's a very political film as well.
Yeah, there is a big portion of it,
which I love. I love the melting elephant at the GOP event.
Oh, is it the ice?
Yeah, the ice elephant. I love that. It's just like melting. And then his wife, Mank's wife, before he walks in, says, "If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything."
Oh my gosh, that might be the best part of the whole movie.
And then he just sits there and just smiles.
Doesn't say anything. Yeah, I love that. They like say something nice to him, and he just kind of smirks at them and nods.
Oh, but so, they know exactly what he wants to say.
Yeah. So do we? Because like, if he had something, you know, if he had something nice to say, he would say something.
Yeah.
But because he has nothing to say,
you're just getting
some smirks and stuff. Yeah, I think that was like my favorite part in the movie, honestly, just how like subtle it was. Love it. I mean, I guess we should. Here's the synopsis. 1930s Hollywood is reevaluated through the eyes of scathing social critic and alcoholic screenwriter Herman J. Mankiewicz, who as he races to finish the screenplay of Citizen Kane. So that's kind of like the backbone, and it's definitely like a love letter to that era.
Oh yeah, Hollywood, 30s, absolutely.
40s.
MGM.
Confession.
Uh-oh. You've never seen.
I've never seen Citizen Kane.
I knew it was coming.
But I mean, bro.
You're not Confession.
How many people are going out to watch Citizen Kane?
Confession.
Today. Go ahead.
I don't like Citizen Kane.
Oof, okay. So,
and I love this film because it kind of shows the reason why I don't like Citizen Kane. First of all, when I was in college, I took a history of film class.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is the only time and the only people subjected to Citizen Kane.
Exactly. And I had to write a paper on why Citizen Kane is the best film. And I literally wrote,
"Wow,
Citizen Kane is not the best film. I did not like it."
It's Dark Knight Rises, duh.
Oh, But I was just like, this is really what we have to talk about after we watch this boring-ass movie?
I mean, but do you feel like... I mean, did you know the story? So it's...
So I knew the Mankiewicz story very well.
I wonder how... Also written by the late, great...
Jack Fincher.
Jack Fincher, David Fincher's father, which this is the only film he's ever written, only screenplay he's ever wrote, right?
Yeah, he wrote it in like the 90s.
So interesting, but I wonder how and where did this guy, did Jack Fincher get all this knowledge from? I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, but no, I like that he broke down like who Orson Welles really was. You know, he wasn't this great guy that everyone thinks. Like, Orson Welles was talented, but... I think we give Orson Welles...
He was just like the face
Yeah.
of other people's like ideas. At least how it's seems to be.
Exactly. And it kind of put him in his place. And hers.
Oh, right.
Which that Charles was, Dance did a great.
Charles Dance.
Man, he did great.
Dude, as soon as I saw Charles Dance pop up in the credits, I'm like, yes! Yes! Yeah, he's great.
He did well. Tom Pelfrey did well as Joseph Mankiewicz.
Now, I gotta ask, is it Mank or Mink?
Mank.
So is it Mank or Monk? Is it Mank?
Mank.
Or is it Mank?
You gotta say it more like...
Sorry. I just wanted to do that.
He's a good man. You gotta say like... Mank.
Is it Monk or Mank?
Mank.
Or is it Mank or Mink?
It's Man. Man. K. Man. K.
No, I really liked it. Also, I like to see David Fincher. Let's bring it back to some Fincher action. I like to see Fincher hit all his attention to detail.
Oh,
like, I think the production and the technicalities of what he's doing in this movie are subtle enough that I think most people don't even realize all the layers of trickery he's doing. Like,
He does. I mean, we were talking about earlier, how much of the stuff is like CG?
Oh, I'm sure so much of it. I mean, like, I heard they shot this movie in 8K.
Wow. 8K, no color.
And then, but distort the hell out of it digitally, adding like imperfections all over the place. Even the audio, how the audio recording sounds like it was
genius
from that era.
Did you feel like you were watching a film from the 30s?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so layered in all of its trickery that I feel like most people aren't even realizing that they're watching something that was made whenever, you know, the last 2 years, something like that.
Yeah.
My goodness.
No, he accomplished everything. And, you know, another confession, I think this is Fincher's masterpiece. And we're not in Oscar season yet, but I'm going to go ahead and predict that Fincher finally gets that statue for directing.
I think he could. I mean, it's like what? I wonder what's like up for grabs, but I can see.
I mean, the man deserves one.
if Citizen Kane is like here at the top, right? Like apparently. I mean, I'm sure of equal evaluation would be a movie about that movie.
Oh yeah, and the Academy loves that. And you know, it'd be a great full circle is, so Citizen Kane only won Best Writing. It didn't even win Best Picture. How great would it be if this won Best Picture and Director?
Oh my gosh.
And it's just a super slap in the face to Orson Welles.
Wow. Wow, and writer?
Yeah.
I'm really shocked to see that it's one writer.
I'm sure it was.
Like, I'm really shocked to see that.
I'm sure there were things pinned in after. I'm sure they hired some hired guns for, like, the political stuff.
Pretty wild, man.
But. Yeah, Jack Fincher, man, rest in peace, but good job.
Yeah, this must have been. I wonder why. Like, such a fascination for Mr. Mankiewicz. Like, I wonder why that story.
Oh, I don't know.
My man never writes a screenplay.
I don't know.
Pens.
it's
like this super intricate screenplay.
And then has his son direct it. I mean, what he was supposed to direct this after The Game or after Seven?
I think it was The Game.
Okay.
What's some of the reception that you've seen from this movie?
I've seen.
Do you think this is a?
Oh, it's gotten very good reception.
I guess maybe not critically. Like, what do you think?
Oh, your standard audience,
moviegoers are going to be thinking.
They're not going to fully understand it.
It's crazy because I just said average moviegoers, but it's really just people at home browsing on Netflix, so it's not really a high barrier
of
entry. What's to like press play, you know?
No, but it is getting its views, and I think Fincher's name alone will attract people. Now, are they going to be a little thrown off that it's not like his other films? Absolutely. But he's kind of been going down a path of getting away from his older style. You still get the Fincher vibe.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, you get the vibe, but he's definitely moved away from rainy, dark alleys, gritty, industrial. He's moved into like this whole almost like classic territory. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
No, it does. And you kind of get that feel when you see it. You feel that you're watching something like powerful and moving, and you know, he takes subjects that could be boring, like Social Network, and makes them cool.
I mean, I thought when I saw the first teaser trailer for Social Network and I see David Fincher was making it, I'm like, why? This is my Fincher? This is my man, my boy? You're just gonna make some boring movie about Facebook? Really?
And then you're and like, dude, that movie about Facebook rocked!
It's the best Facebook movie I've ever seen.
Dude, killed it. And you know,
I mean, I would say probably since David Fincher and Trent Reznor.
Exactly. I was just about to say that.
Hugging each other the whole time. Yeah, as soon as they started hugging.
Dude, Trent Reznor's scoring
every one of their. Yeah, oh, yeah. The music is great. Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. This is their fifth collaboration with David Fincher. So I would say, like, right as that started, man.
Oh, dude. And you know his fascination with Nine Inch Nails. Remember the opening credits of Seven or Nine Inch Nails?
Right. I mean, wasn't he making music videos?
Yeah, Fincher? he was
making music videos for them already, yeah, right?
He was.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. So it's crazy that he's been in the game for like 40 years.
40?
I think he's like...
I knew he started out as a music video director.
He might have been throwing down at the start of the 80s. Making music videos.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's been going ham. Like 84.
Wow.
Yeah. What the heck? I feel like he's still such like a young, energetic dude, but he's like, yeah, you know.
Oh, man. Did you see the comment that Ben Affleck had on Fincher? He compared working with him like Belichick being a coach.
Now explain that reference to those who don't know who Bill Belichick is, and how can that connect?
Bill Belichick is a hard ass that wants perfection, and if you do something wrong, he will let you know. And if you do not succeed and win the final game, he's not satisfied. And you keep going, keep going, keep going until you get it right. Which is Fincher. I mean, Fincher's to me, you know how Kubrick was very, every shot had a purpose?
So they say. But yes.
So they say. I think Fincher is I think he really does have a purpose for every single movement, every single shot, every single line delivery.
Sure.
And, I mean, he's a perfectionist. Yeah.
Speaking of close-ups, a good example. I'm playing NBA 2K21 on the PS5. Every cutscene has these long, slow zooms. Like, dialogue is just, like, constant slow zooming in. I'm like, why? Like, characters aren't even saying anything important. Why are you, like, zooming in? And when I was watching Mank, there's, like, I forget what line Gary Oldman says, but he says some line, and it's, like, the one time there's a close-up, it's, like, right on his face. And I'm like, I look at Michelle, and I'm like, see? Reserve the close-up. 2K out here the whole time, just like just constantly pushing in. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, people do that way too much. But Fincher,
just like unmotivated camera movements. Like, what's the point of this movement?
He loves his full shots. He loves his medium shots. Like, we want to see We want to see the actor, but we want to see what's going on in the atmosphere of the world that we're in.
Right.
And he built a great world.
Oh, absolutely, man. It felt so authentic, like just the world that we see on camera, but even like the world in probably the production process.
Oh, yeah.
It is all down to like to the T, man.
And I think it's the costume design, the production design, they went above and beyond. The editing was just perfect.
Dude, shouts out to what's this man's name? The actor who played Orson Welles. What's his name? Tom Burke.
Tom Burke.
Shouts out to Tom Burke, man.
So I didn't know who he was, but man.
At one point in time, he made me just crack up at how of like a good portrayal that was. He just came in the room.
Oh, with the black? When he came in with the black with the hat?
I don't know. That's like iconic look of his. Yeah. I think it might have been towards the climax where he kind of just like comes in. When I see, it's like you don't really get to see him that much. And so when he came in, I was just like full bodied. I'm like, oh, snap.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's Orson Welles.
That's freaking. Because what? He's like 24 in that movie?
Yeah.
Like, dude, so it's like super young Orson Welles. My goodness, man.
And yo, shouts out to Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye
the Science Guy. What?
Heck yeah. Who did he play? He was playing
Sinclair.
Like a congressman? Or a senator?
No, he was playing Sinclair, who actually wrote Oil, which was There Will Be Blood.
What?
Yeah. Upton Sinclair. Yeah. Great writer.
Upton Sinclair.
Very great writer.
So he was just campaigning?
Yeah, he was campaigning. He was trying to be governor.
Oh, for that guy. He was trying to be the governor. Okay,
he was Sinclair, yeah. Which he looked, I'm sure the casting for that was Bill Nye looks like Sinclair. Let's get him. Bill.
But also you got to spot him. Like you got
to. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You got to know that Bill Nye silhouette.
Oh yeah. And that voice.
If you don't know that profile, I don't know. Sure. Maybe the voice.
But you get like one, not even a close up. You get like a medium shot. For like four
from
seconds,
like
yeah, and it's like, oh, that's Bill Nye.
Is that Bill? Yeah, you got to know that profile, man. You got to. That's something only like '90s kids know, man. You got if you didn't see Bill Nye in your classroom every day in school, you weren't living. Straight up.
No, he killed it. It's just the ensemble of this cast and everything that went into it. Fincher outdid himself, and let's get this man. I mean, I marvel over this film. I've seen it four times already.
Wow, it's been out for...
like 3 days.
3 days, please, sir? Calm down. Is it getting better?
It is. I notice more, and because the writing is so witty and quick.
And they're talking about stuff from 80, 90 years ago.
Yeah, so you have to like look. The third time watching it, I'm like on Wikipedia like, oh, okay, who's it? Dude, did you notice Shirley Temple?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's like all those actors who were saying, people were saying something must have been, there's a few of those, like they don't actually say who's who, but I'm like.
You have to know who it is though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she like stands up and everyone's like, oh.
Yeah, she's like
yay,
yeah.
Like the little Hollywood
I'll take
darling.
A pay cut.
Yeah, oh, yep.
No, it was awesome.
There was one scene where it seemed to be like pulling from some probably some real Hollywood legendary story. What was the MGM guy? The dude at the
what's his name?
Mayor?
Mayor. Yeah.
Mayor. Yeah, when they go to see Mayor and Mayor's like arguing with somebody.
Bitch slaps the guy.
Oh yeah, I forget. I wonder who that is.
And that's something I need to look up too. Because yeah.
Dude, was that one of the Marx Brothers?
Oh yeah, because they talk about that.
They do bring up the Marx Brothers, and he also. But it's weird because I'm always used to seeing them in like comedic roles and like smoking the cigar and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like,
I think you might be right on that.
Dude. Because he kind of looked like him, and I was like, the guy never shows up again. That character never shows up again. So,
but they do talk about it later.
Dang, I wonder if that was, man. Dang,
I think you might be right on that.
Crazy, yeah.
No, it's the little things like that in the film.
Those little things.
And there's a lot of them. Like,
absolutely.
And there's a lot of things that hint towards Citizen Kane. Like, you haven't seen it yet. There's a scene with the monkeys. Citizen Kane opens up with, like, all like the monkeys, the giraffes, the elephants. Like when they're walking.
Yeah, I thought that stood out so weird how it was just like this.
So
like,
that's how Citizen Kane opens.
Dreamlike. Oh. Yeah, I figured there's probably so many. Like, I feel like Mank is probably told in this similar non-linear fashion like Citizen Kane.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably done in like these flashbacks where you see this guy's life and now he's in the present.
The point of view changes just like Citizen Kane.
Yeah, isn't it about like Citizen Kane trying to understand this man and what the last words were, what they meant, which were Rosebud.
Marion Davis's woohoo.
I need confirmation for that. I hear Rosebud, though. I don't know.
What, you think sled? You automatically think sled?
No, I think it's I think it might be some strain of kind of medical cannabis.
That's what it was.
Where's that rosebud, B?
That's what it was. That's what Mankiewicz was thinking.
Orson Welles was like, yo, where can I get that fire at?
But I think the nail in the coffin for the film was the final shot and how he accepted the award and how he said, I love that I'm accepting this alone.
Yeah, so is that real?
Yeah, oh yeah. They didn't go. To the Oscars.
But he accepted the award out front of his house?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a dream sequence or something, like the alternate version of what he thought what it should have been.
Yeah, that really happened. Oh, that was a slap in the face to Orson for sure.
Wow. I love it.
He's like much like how the script was written. I'm glad I'm accepting this alone.
Dude, I really liked what's her name? His like assistant?
Lily Collins?
Yeah, Lily Collins.
Oh, I'm in love with her.
Wow. And Monica Gossman, his
the German
Fraulein Frieda.
I love the story about her and how he saved her entire village.
Yeah, what the heck? Which version of Gary Oldman, though? That's the real question.
But Mank was a good guy. He was just a pistol.
And a drunk.
He was a drunk, but was faithful to his wife.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But never really around.
No, never around, but she dealt with it. I love that they showed, like, she just dealt with it.
Yeah, no, she stood up for herself.
She did well, too. Tevin's Middleton. I love her, too.
What do you call her? Schnookums?
Poor Sarah.
Okay, but like his cute name.
Oh.
For her.
Oh, I don't
know. Schnookums. Something. Something like that.
I should know.
Yeah, you're the one who's seen it a million times. He calls her Stutz. Stuka. Hugo Stiglitz. Something like that. Is it Mank?
Is it
or Monk?
Monk.
Oh my gosh. So
what are you giving this?
I'm giving it a 4, man. It's a solid
black
4.
I'm giving it a 5.
I like it.
5 golden rings.
5 golden. I
You're giving it 4 turtle doves. Is it 4 turtle doves?
I don't know.
Four
rosebuds.
Four mockingbirds. I had to
four
sing it.
Mockingbirds.
Three French hens. Why are there so many birds? Nobody wants birds for Christmas, by the way.
I don't know,
5 golden rings, sure, I'll take those. But then I don't want like a bunch of drummer boys.
16 pigeons, 21 doves, 31
peacocks.
What is it? Sand crane hills. Sand hill cranes.
But, like, if you think about that song, there's just It's just bird after bird. Then, okay, here's some jewelry, and then here's a drumming line, and then here's...
Who am I, the queen?
They like me.
Well, you get it, you're like, oh, okay, I got a song and just, like, these pheasants.
Let's hope David Fincher gets his award, man. Okay, when do you think David Fincher is making his next film? And what would you like to see?
I think he can go back to a 7.
Wow, are you giving him permission?
Yeah.
Wow, I think he can go back. He's allowed now.
He's allowed. He's stamped his it's an approval here. And let's see another murder mystery from.
Give me Panic Room 2. Jodie Foster is moving into a new house.
Jared Leto resurrects with his brains.
With a new panic room. We call it Panic Room 2.
Let's panic. Electric Boogaloo.
Let's panic room 2. Let's panic.
Let's panic.
Rated PG.
Rated PG-13.
On Disney Home Video. Well, yeah, I mean, go out and see this film. I mean, it's on Netflix. You know, Andy, I recently purchased a new TV. I have a new Sony TV.
Ooh.
Right? There's this thing called Dolby Vision. There's Dolby Atmos, and then I think there's Dolby Vision or Atmos Vision. One of those two. It's like, okay. Did you know that there's another Netflix subscription, like a 4K subscription?
I did not.
All right. Well,
is that what you watched it in?
I did that. Plus with my TV, I'm out here seeing this film like godsend.
Butter.
Like butter, baby. Ooh. No, if you haven't seen it like that, you've seen it 4 times, you need to watch it a 5th time with Dolby Vision.
It's cute.
It's cute. Very cute. Ooh. The cutest it could possibly be.
So, I don't know why that is the word that came. I went,
well,
it's
it is
cute.
It's very cute.
Good.
You should definitely get yourself a potential 4K subscription. Watch this for the 5th time. And if you at home, if it's your first time, give it a watch.
Black and white just popping out at you?
Oh, yeah. Vibrant.
Oof.
But also not monochrome, but sharp.
Sharp.
Contrast. Bow, bing, boom, boom,
boom.
We're good.
You're looking at shadows and
all oof, oof.
Lights.
Edge lighting. Looking fantastic.
Hair lighting. And
You know, it looks great, baby.
Fincher, baby.
That's what it got, like half of it. That's my 4 stars. That's like 3.5 of it.
Damn, only half the movie got half.
It was that edge lighting. Take it all the way.
No, it was great, and I'm gonna keep watching this and hope that this is the movie of the year, and hopefully people understand it. If I know it's like a film for film people, but
then it like kind of is it.
No,
like
it's got its political, you know, storyline, but I don't know.
It's weird because I don't think they make Mank likable. Like, he's okay.
They don't, but he was a good guy, and his brother, the whole Mankiewicz family was just writing geniuses. Like, Joseph Mankiewicz won back-to-back Oscars for writing.
Yeah, well, do you remember some of his films, or?
All About Eve, and, oh, I forget the second one.
All About Adam?
I loved All About Eve. That was a good one. But I forget the second one. I don't know. But, I don't know. So I dug it, and
yeah,
I'm glad you did
well.
Too. And
absolutely, man.
Fincher's back, baby.
I hope so.
Let's celebrate Fincher month.
Yeah, Fincher month for sure. I'm down. Absolutely. I think he is back, but hopefully it's another 6 years, seven years before we see him again.
Give me like every two and a half years.
Come on, Fincher, every 2 years.
Come on, man. You're getting our permission here. Come on.
Yeah, Andy's giving you permission.
Make a murder bloody film. Come on.
Andy permits you.
Yeah, come on. We want to see the movie 8.
Yes, the 8 deadly sins. Or the 11th commandment.
But let's not bring back Spacey.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Let us know what you guys think. Find us on Instagram at The Reverse Shot, Twitter at The Reverse Shot, anchor.fm, Spotify, and wherever other podcasts are available. Find us. Let us know what you thought of Mankiewicz. Exactly. With that, I'm John Salmon.
I'm Andy Peterson.
And we are out.
Peace.